Happy Father's Day. We're glad that you're here with us today. And, you know, there are so many things about dads that we all know about. Some of them that you already know about is that if your dad barbecues, his is the best barbecue in the world. And we know that because we tell everybody that every time, right? I love what I was reminded of just a few days ago, that we brag about how hard we cook when we barbecue and we barbecue and we barbecue. Of course, our wives buy it all, set it up, do all the marinating, do all the cleaning before and afterwards, and yet we get all the glory. That's what Father's Day is for. Thank you very much. We are a different breed. Something about dad's jokes that just kind of irk us and yet live with it, laugh at them. That's a part of honoring your father. I'm sure it is. We need to give the best we can as fathers, but I'm telling you, it makes a difference when our families love and support too. Amen? There was a family sitting around the table, and as they were sharing the peaks and the pits of their day, this one daddy had two little girls, and the older of the girls began to share, as he asked how was her day, she said, you know, I was at school today and one of my friends was having a particularly bad day. They had some problems at home and she was really sad. She was upset. And she said, you know, I just went over to her and I prayed with her and I prayed for her. And I let her know, look, you know, even though things can be really hard at home, there are people who love you. There are people who care about you. And she prayed for her, and she said, you know, she was much better after I prayed. And her daddy, after listening to the story, said, I am so proud of you. I am so glad that you have that kind of heart. He said, I'm glad that you have a heart of compassion. The little girl, nearly brought to tears, went and jumped in her daddy's lap and put her arms around his neck and just hugged and held on to him for a long time, just appreciating what he had said about her. Well, his younger daughter, much younger daughter, was sitting at the table watching all of this. And of course, as she saw it, she began to hunger for some of that same attention. You know how our children are. They have needs there. She said, Daddy, 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 what do I have a heart of? And the father knew that what he said in the next moment was going to last a lifetime for her. So he thought about it. And he said, you know what I love about you? I love that you look for the good in people. You're always finding good about folks. You're always finding good about your friends. I love how you lead people to do good things. You are a helpful and loving leader. The little girl was overwhelmed, but instead of jumping in her daddy's lap, she jumped up from the table and ran into the kitchen with her hands flying, and she said, Mommy, 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 I have the heart of a loving leader. Now let me ask you a question. How long do you think that's going to impact that little girl's life? That her daddy said, you have the heart of a loving leader. Dads might be known for their bad jokes. We might be known for our good or bad barbecue. We might be known for our quirks. But I'm going to tell you, dads, if there's anything else that we are known for, here's something that we need to be known for. We need to be known for our blessings. Not those that come from us to us, but those that come from us to our family. Does that make sense? We need to be giving our blessing. Every child needs their father's blessing. There may be people in your life and children in your life that need your blessing as well because they look up to you as a father figure. But every father should speak words of blessing to his children. I want us to look at the words of blessing from a father in Scripture. In Genesis chapter 27, verses 26 through 29. So if you would, turn to Genesis, find chapter 27, and would you stand with me in honor of reading God's word? We're going to look at Isaac's blessing to his son. I love these words. I shared these with our men at the wild game dinner. Some of you might have been there. So a brief devotion on this I shared with you back in February. We're going to look at it in a little more depth today. I love these words. If they don't make you grin, you're not listening. It says, "Then his father Isaac said to him, 'Come now near and kiss me, my son.' And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his clothing, and he blessed him and said, 'Surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. Therefore may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let peoples serve you, and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be anyone and everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you.'" This, my friends, is a biblical blessing, and I want us to take a few moments to look at it, but first, would you pray with me? Father, we are so thankful that we have examples that we can follow. And Lord, although the words might not be exactly what we would use, would you help us as daddies, help us as fathers to learn to give the blessings of our hearts and our lives to our children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you be seated? Every father should speak words of blessing to his children. Now, when Isaac blessed his son, he was speaking with a divinely given authority. This wasn't just a sentiment or a favoritism. He was giving a divine blessing. And I'm going to tell you that I believe that there's a precedence here, not only with Isaac and Jacob, but there is a precedence here from God, because God tells us that as fathers, we're to rule our families and we're to rule them well. And with the divinely given authority from God to be the leaders of families, I believe that God gives us the ability then to divinely bless our children and our families. And I'm going to ask you, when's the last time you blessed your kids? Now, maybe they're old and grown. Maybe they're fully grown. Maybe they're still at home. Maybe they're too young to understand your words. But I'm going to tell you, it's never too early and it's never too late to share your blessings with your children. You need to share your blessings. By Hebrew custom, a father's blessing had a number of ingredients, a couple of them especially. First of all, they had a meaningful touch. This is important because the daddy was to give a divine touch to his children. A father's blessing meant meaningful touch. First of all, the scripture tells us, it says, Jacob went close to his father who touched him with his hands. Folks, a father's blessing needs to include the laying on of hands. Now, how many of you have ever heard the term laying on of hands? You ever heard that? If you haven't heard that, that's a biblical phrase that has more than just a meaning of this, that like when a child does something wrong, you say, I'm going to lay hands on you. That's not what it's saying. The laying on of hands here is the laying on of hands with a biblical and a divine perspective that says you're going to bless someone. Now, I'm going to tell you that the laying on of hands is powerful. Because you see, whenever there's an ordination, there's the laying on of hands. Whenever missionaries are sent out, the scripture says that they laid hands on them and sent them out. In the scripture, we need to do the same. It is a divine blessing, and there is something special about the touch that comes from a godly person to be laid on someone, as on their head, on their shoulders, whatever it is, and you pray for them, and as they're sent out, I just believe that God blesses that. Daddies, there is a special blessing in the laying on of hands with your children as well. Now, it says that a kiss from the dad, an embrace of love and acceptance. Jacob's father Isaac said to him, whenever he called him in, he said, "Come here, my son, and kiss me." Now, I'm going to tell you that these days we have this just a little bit of an aversion to say, "Kiss me, boy." I understand that. But you know what? There are so many ways that you can display your affection, even in Europe, and even in the Holy Land, you still greet people with a holy kiss. The men would kiss the cheek, and it was a sign of acceptance and blessing. Folks, the same thing here with our children and with our sons. There are ways that you can break the connection barrier without feeling that you're going to be too mushy. Guys, if nothing else, would you shake your son's hand and give him a big hug and just say, I love you, my boy. I love you, son. There is nothing wrong with telling your kids and everything right about telling your kids that you love them. It's scriptural. Tell your kids you love them. There was an understanding in the Lord Jesus Christ about this. If you go back and look in Mark chapter 10, verse 16, it says that Jesus Christ himself, that he came to the little children came running to him, and it says that he took the children up in his arms. He put his hands on them and blessed them. That was Jesus. Jesus knew the importance of blessing the children. Now, I'm going to tell you, Satan has stolen a lot of the good understanding of good touch. Amen? Because of all of the perversion and because of all the abuse, the world is afraid of touch anymore. They're afraid of touch. And folks, we as God's people, of all people, need to do it right. We need to do it well. But folks, there is a barrier that is broken down with touch. One of my favorite stories was about a family that had gone into a fast food restaurant. And while they were waiting in line, they were taking care of their little boy. That he was probably 7, 8 months old, just old enough to be frivolous and fun and smiling, but too little to know a whole lot. And as they were standing in line, a homeless man came in, and he got in line right behind them. And that little boy on his mother's shoulder was looking over his shoulder and cackling and laughing and cooing at the homeless man, who was in rags, did not smell very good, but was playing and Gucci-cooing with the baby in front of him. I mean, don't we all do that? I see some of y'all do it in church. And it's okay. Listen, I'm going to tell you, I've just got to brag and say, you know, we got some families here this morning with children. I'm going to tell you, you think it's easy to get to church? You try getting to church with children and spend the whole hour in church with them. I just want to say I'm proud of you. God bless you. I'm going to say that if you can take care of them during the whole time, there is no baby I can't preach over. Amen. So I just praise God, and I'm thankful to God that you're here. Praise the Lord. But as this man was playing with the little baby, the little baby started reaching out to him, literally crawling up his mother's shoulder and reaching out to this man. And the man reached out to him to take him. And the mother's going, ah. That baby's nearly diving out of her arms, and finally, he says, is it okay? Well, she, standing right there with him, hands the baby to the man. Big tears start coming out of his eyes, and he is just overwhelmed with emotion. He hands the baby back shortly and said, thank you. You don't know what a gift and what a blessing you've given to me. He said, nobody wants to touch me anymore. And what you've given to me has impacted my heart deeply. Listen, folks, the gift of touch will break down a lot of barriers. Such expressions of love, men, your children need. They still need it. You can still bless your children's heart when they get them from you in the right way, daddies. The second thing that a blessing includes is words of affection. Now, I want you to notice that before blessing Jacob, his father said to him, before he said, bless you with this and bless you with that, I want you to see what he said. It's in verse 27. Do you have your Bible? Open your Bible back up. He says, ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. So what is he saying here? Look, to a city dweller, these words might bring a bit of a puzzled look. Amen? Say, my boy smells like dirt. That might puzzle a lot of people, but not Isaac's boys. Isaac's boys knew what that meant because Isaac loved nature. Do you remember? Isaac was a hunter. Isaac loved venison. Isaac loved the field. He loved to be outside, and now he was bedridden. And his boys come in and they smell like the outdoors. And he goes, ah, you smell like dirt. Man, I love it, boy. You know what he's saying? You know what he's, in other words, you know what he's saying? That's my boy. That's my boy. A country boy. A hunter. A man's man. Like his daddy. Listen. There were very few words that Isaac could have spoken that were more affirming to his sons. He says, man, I like what you are. Never, never, mamas, listen, daddies, listen, never underestimate the power of positive words in your child's life. Amen? Daddy, make sure your words are not demeaning or insensitive. I'm not saying don't correct your child. God's word says that we're to correct our children. God's word says that we're to discipline our children. But make sure that your words are not demeaning and insensitive. You can correct without using bad language. You can correct without using poor ideas. Folks, we need to speak the words, even in our correction, but especially in our blessing of, I love you. I believe in you. You are a man's man. You are a blessing. I'm proud of you. And even when you mess up, listen, I think this is something that we need to remind our kids of. Even when, not if, but even when you mess up, I will always be here for you. Amen? I'm going to tell you, I think that that makes a difference. That's one of the things that I get to share, not just with my boys, but with the youth of our church. I try to remind them whenever I get the chance to tell them, look, no matter what's going on, no matter what's happening in your life, we're going to love you no matter what. We may not like what you do sometimes, amen? But we're going to love you no matter what. There is nothing you can do that will keep us from loving you. And if you ever need a bailout, if you ever get in trouble, now I'm not saying go to jail and they just bail you out all the time, but I'm talking about if you get in a spot and you need a way out, you can call me, no questions asked. The next day we'll have a talk, but that night, no questions. If you need a way out, you can call me. Daddies, I think that more sons, even if they never use it, would think differently of their daddies if they would tell them that. Not giving them carte blanche, not talking about just running crazy, but absolutely to say, if you ever find yourself in a predicament and you need a way out, you can call me without judgment. Again, we might talk about it the next day about the wiser choices, but understand there will be no questions. We just go and we deliver. Guys, that is loving your child. Every child needs the support and the blessing of their father. Now, I want to share with you very quickly, moms and dads, how can you bless your children? What are some things you can do? And right there in part number three there, we've got five little words that I think will help you. First of all, before we even start this, I want you to understand that God's word tells us that we need to use God's word with them. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Folks, if you train a child up, it will make all the difference in the world in their ability to call on the Lord, to use the word of the Lord, and to have the foundation that they can work from. There was a man who went to the circus back in the day when they would raise it up with elephants. Anybody old enough to remember that out in the country where they would come in and set the tents up? And they would use the elephants to raise these huge poles in the tents. And they were massive things. I mean, it was just incredible the weight that they could lift up. And then when they got through pulling all this weight, they would take a stake that was about 12 inches, drive it into the ground, and put a chain around the elephant. And the elephant would stay there. And a man came by and asked the trainer one time, he said, he is able to lift that entire post up that's got to weigh a couple of thousand pounds, and you think that that stake in the ground is going to hold him? He says, yep. He said he never pulls against it. And he says, how can that be? He said, well, when they're little bitty, we drive a stake in the ground that's probably 4 feet. And we put the chain around their leg, and they pull and they pull and they pull until their leg kind of gets sore and scuffed up. And after a while, they quit pulling on it because it hurts so much. It kept it sore. And after a while, they just ignore it. They get to the end of their chain, and they feel the resistance, and they stop, and they don't pull on it anymore. Are you beginning to get the understanding here? If you put up a barrier strong enough for your child when they're young enough to be taught, they learn to quit kicking against the goads, as the Bible says. I'm not saying they won't ever go against it, but what a difference it makes to have the training early in life. Here are some things that we need to do. First of all, build your children's self-esteem. Build your child's self-esteem. Inside every child, God has created an incredible potential for life and good. And yet many children do not act like winners because they've never been built up to be who they really are in Christ. They don't realize how important they are and how loved they are by God and hopefully by their parents. As a father, you get both. You get both the responsibility and the joy of building your children up in who they are. It's a joy and it's a responsibility before God. Secondly, love your children unconditionally. We talked about that just a moment ago. We don't always like what they do, but we're always to love them. That's the kind of love that cannot be withheld. There are times to withhold your blessing. There are times to withhold the good things that you might be pouring out on them as discipline. There might be a time that they need to be taught to work and to work hard. But folks, understand this, unconditional love can be expressed in many, many ways. And sometimes it's by withholding. Sometimes it's by lavishing. So dad, don't be afraid to show your children love. Hug and kiss them. Hug on them. Wrestle with them. Tussle with them. I told the men, I said, probably one of the best kind of roughhousing you can do with your kid is to kind of leave a little beard right here. And on Saturday morning before you shave, when they want to tussle a little bit, show them where it is. Listen, I guarantee you they're going to remember it. Guys, don't be afraid to express your love and your care to your children. And yes, even and especially your boys. Be open. Be transparent. Be expressive. Guys, probably one of the hardest things to do is to realize that we're setting a standard for our kids that's better than we have shown ourselves sometimes. But we can always show them and tell them, look, I'm not perfect, but I take my confessions to the Lord just like you do, and I get things right with God, and I serve Him the best I can. You need to do the same. The third thing is encourage your children's best. Amen? Don't let your kids slack off and get away with it. Folks, expect the best of them. I've been told all my life, you're going to hit what you aim at. Amen? That's what Daddy said. He said, you're going to hit what you aim at. And if you aim low, guess what? You're going to hit low. He said, aim high, son. Aim high. We need to give them an expectation that is exceptional. Because we expect that of them. Because kids usually will perform to expectation. A lot of children grow up around a lot of criticism and a lot of low expectations. Perhaps you grew up in a family with constant criticism And maybe they even told you, well, you're never going to amount to anything. And yet you overcame it. Thank God. Amen? Praise God. That's not the kind of thing that needs to come from people that love you. That's not the kind of thing that comes from people even in correction. You might tell them and you might share with them, look, what you did was not very smart, but you're a smart young man. You're a smart young lady. You know better. You can do better. And share with them your expectations. Don't tell them how dumb you think they are. We all do dumb stuff. Wives, look at me. Don't you look at your man right now. All of us do dumb stuff. Sometimes even wives. The thing is, we know better. And just because we have an action in our life, it should not define the rest of our life. Amen? And so, we need to teach that to our children. Encourage their best. You might have grown up in a family with criticism, but as a dad, you can break that cycle. Even if your kids are already grown, you can still change that cycle and praise and encourage your children in every way possible. Number four, shape your children's values. Of all the people that should be sharing values with somebody, it ought to be moms and dads with children. Now, how do you do this? I'm going to tell you, you start by praying with them. You show them that there is a higher authority in your life, a higher authority than anything on this earth, and you show them the Lord God is important to you. Pray for them. Protect them. Teach them God's word. Get in the word of God. Share with them the word of God. Teach the word of God. Quote the word of God. Encourage the word of God. Practice it yourself and help them to practice it in their hearts and lives. Live in obedience to God's word. That's what begins to shape a child's values. To see it in their mama and in their daddy. One more. Share your faith with your kids. A lot of you are going, well, they see that. We don't really need to talk about religion. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Listen, your kid needs to hear from you why you believe what you do. And if you don't know why you believe what you do, you need to find out. You need to get in the Word of God. You need to tell them why Christ makes a difference in your life. You need to tell them why it makes a difference for you to pray every day. Why it makes a difference for you to read the Word of God. Why it makes a difference to go to church. Why do we give a tithe to the church? Why do we try to bless others through serving in the church? Why do we do these things? You need to teach your children. It'll not only reinforce things in your own heart, but it's going to make a difference in their life as well. You need to share your faith with your kids. They say that the most important part of a relay race is when you pass the baton. Any track and field stars here? Okay, track and field, anything? I ran track. I was never a star, but I ran track, and I tried hard. And they say that the most important time when you're in the relay race is when you take that baton and you're running. If you've done this and you've seen it on the Olympics and on TV, and you're running and the person, your teammate, is in front of you running in your lane, and you're supposed to pass that baton from you to the next person. Why? So that they can carry that baton around and pass it to the next. Because if you get across the line without the baton, you lose. Even if you cross first. Sometimes passing the baton is one of the most important things you can do with your kids, too. Tell them why. Why? Because I said so. Never heard that one, have you, kids? There are times for that one. There really are times for that one. Because I'm the authority in this house, and you do it because I said so. But there are other times when you need to say, and I see the laughing over here. Was that one used today? This morning? There are times that you need to say, You know what? Just do what I say now. Tonight around the table, we'll talk about this. And then tonight around the table, you know what you'd better do? Talk about this. Share your faith with your children. It's the same with your Christian life, about things they need to know in this world that will get them fired at work, things that will get them in trouble at school, things that will cause problems with your neighbors. Teach them those good things, but also teach them about your faith. Yes, they get it at Sunday school. If you're bringing them, I hope and pray that you are. Yes, they'll get it in the sermon. But folks, of all the places that they're going to hear and receive, is going to be from you around the table. Pass the baton of faith to your children, and ultimately, dear friend, to your children's children. Here's a thought as I close. Your children need your blessing. Moms seem to be a little better at this for some reason. I'm not sure why. Maybe they just got a little more tender hearts. They are a little freer to express their devotion and their love. And guys, we just kind of need to get over some of that. It's okay if you share tough love. I don't care if you growl it, but just tell them you love them. But growl it lovingly, amen? Your kids need to hear you love them. Your kids need to hear your blessing. And it is my prayer for you this morning that you not only share that blessing with your children, but you do it starting today. Would you bow your heads with me? Just bow your head, close your eyes. Dads, if you're here this morning, I'm going to ask you to do this. Would you set in your mind and heart that you are going to share a word of blessing and encouragement with every one of your kids today, even if they're not at home anymore? But you set in your heart and your mind before God to say, God, I've heard your message. I've heard, and I'll obey. Start today. Now, here's something that you need. Ask for God's help. You might say, preacher, my son and I don't talk anymore. That needs to be remedied. Ask for God's help. You may not call and just spout a bunch of lovey-dovey words, but perhaps you need to send an email or a letter that just opens the door to say, in spite of all, I love you in the Lord, and I'm praying for you. And now, dads, would you look at me? Some of you may be here without a father here. Some of you may be here without the daddy of your children here. But you know what? Mamas, you can step in. Unfortunately, we've had to have a lot of mamas that step in for daddies. Amen? Thank you, God, for godly mothers who will do what daddies fail to do at times. Amen? Thank you, Lord. But dads, if you'd look at me just a moment. If you have a child here, I want you to do this. I want you to stand. If you have a child here, I want you to stand. Daddy, if you're here, stand. I want you to go stand behind that child. If it's more than one, you can kind of take turns. Now, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Put a hand on the shoulders. And even from your heart, right now, would you pray for them and just ask God to bless them? And as you do, you can squeeze their shoulders and let them know I'm praying for you. Can you do that? Mamas, if you're here and daddy's not and you got kids here, step in for them. Do that. Would you do that? You can do that. I want you to lean over into their ear and I want you to tell them from your heart, I love you and I'm praying for you and I'm thankful to God for you. Can you tell them that? Mean it. When you're done, Daddy, you can be seated. When you're done, Mom, if you're here and the Father's not and you're standing in, bless your heart. When you're done, you can be seated.